Today's Shem, Sechta Sanhedrin, Daf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the last line. Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa teaches us Dine Mominus, Dine Tyrus that refer to financial issues, Bishloisha. You need to have three members to such a Dine Tyrus. Rebhaya Mumchel Rabbim. However, if the individual who's passing the Dine Tyrus is someone who's a Mumchel Rabbim, Dana Fila Yechidi, he could pass the Din Torah even on his own. Who is a Mumchel Rabbim? The Rishonim explain, he's an individual who is a Talmud Chacham, a great Talmud Chacham. Not only is he a great Talmud Chacham, but he's also an individual who has practical experience in Halacha, and is a person who is known to have those qualities. Moreover, Tosfos says that once this person who's a Mumchel Rabbim, and we're going to spend time in Mitzvah Shem today trying to understand more of who is a Mumchel Rabbim, is allowed to pass the Din Torah, it's certainly, he's allowed to pass the Din Torah without the consent, specific consent of the two litigants. Because if we have the consent of the two parties, then obviously anybody could pass the Din Torah. If the Braisa is teaching us that he has a special rule, it must be that he could pass in the Din Torah even if the two parties don't agree. However, the Poskim do say that even though we don't need that the two parties should agree to come to the Din Torah, the regular halachas of Dinei Torah will certainly apply. For example, the halachas Holchanacha and Nitfa, that the defendant could choose where to go for Din Torah, or it should be in the place of the defendant. That halacha certainly would remain. Machloikas Rishonim, this thing that the Brice is teaching us, on what is it based? Rashi says, it goes back to what we learned, that the Pasuk says, B'tzedek tish b'di misecha, and the Pasuk is teaching us that a dayin yochid, even one individual could pass in this type of a din Torah. We learned the concept of Erev Parshius on Daf Gimel, that says that since the Torah says the word Elohim three times regarding the Torahs of Gzeilus v'Halvos, Gzeilus v'Chavolus, so too should be the din by Hedos v'Halvos. So Rashi says, our Tana of this price obviously does not subscribe to the concept of Erev Parshius. That's how Rashi understands this opinion. Tosfos, other Rishonim say, and we've mentioned this pshat already, that he can subscribe to the concept of Erev Parshius. And even though, as we learned, we can't review that entire sugya, that there is a concept of Erev Parshius, it doesn't exist regarding this halacha, because the Torah specifically said, but Tzedek Tishvat HaMisecha, teaching us that for the Torahs of Hodos V'Havos, one dayin is enough. A third pshat, that I saw the Rishonim suggest, is that what this Braisa, the Tan of this Braisa holds, is the Midaraisa Erev Parshius. And since there's a concept of Erev Parshius, you really ought to have three Dayanim for the Din Torah. But Rabbanon, because of the concept that we've learned of Kadesh Loi Tinal Dels B'fnei Lovin, said that one Dayim Mumcha is enough. Om Rav Nachman, so said Rav Nachman, Kegoyna no, somebody like myself, don't dinim Mamas B'chidi. I could pass the Din Torah by myself, of Mominus. The Kedah of Rav Chia said about himself, Kegoyna no, someone as myself, don dinim Mominus B'yechidi, could pass the Din Torah by myself. Ask Tosfos, it says in Pirkei Avos, Alti don Yechidi, a person should never pass the Din Torah by himself, She'en don Yechidi, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could pass the Din Torah by himself. So how could these individuals pass the Din Torah on their own? So Tosfos says, the way to understand that Mishnah, is that that Mishnah is teaching us an Eitz HaToiva. It's better to do not to do it on your own. But if you want, you may. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that these individuals weren't saying that they actually practiced passing the Din Torah by themselves. They said that they were allowed to, but they didn't necessarily do so. Another pshat is that that Mishnah isn't referring to a Mumchel Rabbim. Somebody who's in the category of a Mumchel Rabbim, he could pass him by himself. Another knech especially if it's an emergency situation where you need the din Torah paskin, the halacha is that he could paskin the din Torah by himself, even though under normal circumstances he cannot. Now ask the Gemara, what were the specific characteristics of these individuals that because of these characteristics they could paskin the din Torah by himself? Ibailhu, what does it mean? Kigoin ano, the Gemirna v'Severna, with Talmid HaChamim, with Lamdonim, the Nektina Rishusa, we also have authorization from the Reish Galusa. That's why they could paskin the Torah by themselves. Av Eloi Nokad Rishusa, if they did not have that specific authorization, Dina Eloi Dina, then they don't have this ability to paskin themselves. Or perhaps, Eidim Afakav the Eloi Nokad Rishusa, even if they don't have specific permission, the Loch is Dina Dina, they could paskin the entire by themselves. And again, as the Rishonim explain, what is the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is that what level does a person have to be on to have this special dispensation? Toshma, the Mazut Rebbe of Nachman, Don Dina. Mazut Rebbe of Nachman once passed the Torah on his own, Vita, and he made a judgment error. Also Kamed Rav Yosef. So he came to Rav Yosef and Amalei, and Rav Yosef told him, Im Kibluch Alayu, if the two litigants accepted that you should be the Dayan, this way Rashi explains the Gemara, if they accepted you, then no matter what you say, your psak should be followed, loy tishalom. Now, if you made a mistake, you won't be held responsible. Either because we understand that it's a situation of mechila, through Shainim explain that they were meichel him. Others explain in their accepting this, what they're saying is that even if you're making a mistake, even if you'll end up making a mistake, we will be prepared to accept that mistake. Another pshat I saw in the Rishonim is a situation like an oinus, and we know oinus rechmana patri. However, viloy, if there wasn't that type of specific acceptance of your psak, zilshlim, then you'll have to pay. Now, says the Gemara, shmamina, what was the ruling given to him? The ruling given to him wasn't that your psak is voided. The ruling given to him was, your psak is a psak, your psak is a psak, but since you didn't get special permission, therefore you'll have to pay out of your pocket for the mistake you made. Shmami no, kiloi nokat rishusa, if he doesn't have special permission, dina dina. The ruling remains, just that he has to pay for his mistake. Shmami no. Amarav, says Rav, Haiman, the boiler made in dina. Somebody who wants to paskin the entire's on his own, but he wants to be in the category vitah, that if he makes a mistake, viboy lemiftra, he wants to be able not to have to pay for his mistake. Lishkel reshus mebei resh galusa, he has to get special authorization from the resh galusa. Machloikas reshainim, who will this authorization help for? Will it help only for a person who's a Talmud Chacham? But just because you're Mumch L'Rabim, just because you're Talmud Chacham, it isn't enough. You also have the special dispensation. Or other Rishonim suggest that a person who has special dispensation, special authorization from the Reish Galusa, could be even Amar Arts. And I think that the Machloikis between these two opinions in the Rishonim is really dependent on another question. What does Nekitna Rishusa, what is the special license that he gets from the Reish Galusa help? Some say it's a higher level. Not only are you Gamirna V'Severna, but you also have the license. So if that's the case, only somebody who's Gamirna V'Severna. And others say that what does the Reish Galusa accomplish? What the Reish Galusa accomplishes is that it's a situation of Hefka Bezdin Hefker. Hefka Bezdin Hefker could be for everybody, even if he's an Amoritz. The Cain, Amar Shmuel, Lishko Rishusim Beresh Galusa. He has to get special authorization from the Beresh Galusa, and by getting that dispensation, he will be able to be free of any financial responsibility for errors. The Rishonim debate, what does the Rishus of the Resh Galusa, what does that accomplish? So some explain, as we're going to learn in the Gemara in a moment, since the Resh Galusa comes from Shevet Yehuda, that gives them that special authority. However, there are other Rishonim, the Rivash, says a very big chiddush. The Rivash says that the Reish Galusa, since besides that he came from Shevet Yehuda, was also given his authority, his position, with government approval, that gives them a special authority, a special power. And the Rivash says, fascinating tshuva, the Rivash says that in France, the king, says King Charles, appointed someone to be the chief rabbi, and then after that, chief rabbi died, and the king died, both of the successors named each other to be the chief rabbi. Any psak given by that chief rabbi, that besides that he was accepted by the community to be chief rabbi, he also has the government authorization, and he quotes Al Gemara, gives him a special power that no one could fight with his psak. Says the Gemara, in Eretz Yisrael, there was a Nasi. In Bavel, there was a Reish Galusa. Says the Gemara, Pshit it's obvious, mihocha lahocha, that the authorization in Bavel of the Reish Galusa is effective for the people in Bavel. Furthermore, mahasam, the authorization given in Eretz Yisrael for the people in Eretz Yisrael lahasam are effective. Furthermore, mahocha lahasam, if somebody got authorization from the Reish Galusa in Bavel, and now he travels to Eretz Yisrael, mahani, it's also effective. Why? Because the power of the Reish Galusa is greater than the power of the Nasi. The Hacha Shevet, the Reish Galusa is called Shevet, which means a stick, he's stronger, the Hasa Mechaikik. And the Nasi is only a Mechaikik. The Gra quotes a fascinating Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the Reish Galusa was a descendant of the male side based of it, whereas the Nasi was a descendant of the female side, and we know in Yichus, the male side is more dominant, and that's why the Reish Galusa had more power. But Tosfos also points out that even though Al Gemara is saying that the Reish Galusa is more powerful than the Nasi, that's only as far as the entire Amamon is concerned. We learned the Gemara together in Masechta Basra, that says, Avira da Ara Machkim, that people in Eretz Yisrael have the Avir the Ara, to make him greater Tamid Chachamim. And that's why he says Tosfos, as far as questions of Issa v'Heter, the people in Eretz Yisrael are greater. Kiritanya, as the Pasuk says, Lo Yosu Shev Yehuda, El Rosh Goli Shev Bavel, refers to the Rosh Galus and Bavel. Shiroidness Yisrael B'Shevet, they have the power of the stick. U'mechaykev Ben Raglov, El B'nei Bonav Shel Hillel, it refers to the descendants of Hillel, Shemlamdim Torah B'Rabim, that they teach Torah. The Ben Yoyada asks, why are the people in Eretz Yisrael called B'nei Bonav Shel Hillel? Shouldn't it have said in the Gemara, Hillel U'Bonav U'B'nei Bonav? So Ben Yoyada says the Gemara is referring to one specific individual. He says the Gemara is referring to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, who was a descendant of Hillel, who was the one that authored the Mishnayos. He is the paradigm of Melamed Torah B'Rabim. And I saw a beautiful vart. You know, the word mechaikik has mechika, stands, which means to erase. The pasuk is saying, everybody leaves the world. People don't stay forever. How does a person want to be able to live on for nitzchias if he learns Torah and it teaches Torah? Umechaikik mi bein raglov. How do you avoid the mechaikik getting erased? Lamdim Torah B'Rabim. If you teach Torah B'Rabim, then you will live on forever. So Nadagmar continues asking, so certainly the authorization given by the Reish Galusa in Chutz Laretz is effective for Eretz Yisrael. But now ask the Gemara, Mehosam L'Hachamai, if somebody got an authorization from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, will it be effective in Bavel? Toshma, the Rabbi Bar Chana Don Dina, Rabbi Bar Chana Paskind Adin Torah, V'Tor, and he made an error. Asalei Kamed Rav Chia. And now the question was, would he have to reimburse the litigants? Amalei, and he said to him, as we learned earlier, if the two litigants accepted your psak no matter what, loy tishalom, you're not going to be obligated to pay. Viloy, but if you didn't have such a situation, zil shlim, you have to pay. Now, says the Gemara, for Rabbi Bar Chana, reshus ha'avinokit, he did have authorization from Eretz Yisrael. So if the authorization from Eretz Yisrael was effective in Bavel, didn't we say that somebody has that authorization is not obligated to pay by an error? Shema mina, that the authorization for Eretz Yisrael is not effective in Chutz Laretz. Ask the Gemara, is this true? The loy mahani, the rabbi Rav Huna, when the people of the Resh Galusa, as the Marik explains, even though Rabbi Rav Huna was a very modest individual, but sometimes he had to defend himself from the people of the Resh Galusa's household. My authorization is not from you that you have a right to act to me this way. I have smicha from my father, Rav Chia, so I'm not subservient to you. My smicha is from Eretz Yisrael. And the place can say, based on this Gemara, we see two concepts. Halacha. One is that a father could give a son smicha, because he said he got a smicha from his father. And furthermore, we see that anybody who has smicha himself has permission to give smicha to someone else. So we see that he was using the fact that he got smicha in Eretz Yisrael to defend himself from the Resh Galusa. Says the Gemara, b'milsa ba'alma hu da'akamu. He was just saying it, but it really didn't have any validity. Ask the Gemara, if we're paskani, v'chima acha d'loy mahani, if the smicha in Eretz Yisrael is not effective in Eretz Yisrael, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Archana reshusa d'nakad lamali. So why did Rabbi Archana go through the bother of getting smicha in Eretz Yisrael? And as the Reina Yoin explains the Gemara's question, in Eretz Yisrael he didn't need smicha. There were plenty of Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. He was traveling to Chutz Laretz, but his smicha from Eretz Yisrael won't help him in Eretz Yisrael. So why did he go through the bother of getting smicha? Answers the Gemara, Layoris ha'oindim al gvulim. It was needed that there were cities that were in Chutz Laretz, but were right on the border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And for those cities, even though they're in Chutz Laretz, since they're so close to Eretz Yisrael, that smicha will be effective, and that's why he needed the smicha for when it'll be in those cities. Says the Barmai Rishusu, what is the way the smicha works? Says the Barmai Rabbi Achana Lebavel, Amalei Rav Chia LeRebbe. When Rabbi Achana was traveling to Bavel, so Rav Chia said to Rebbe, Ben Achai Yared Lebavel. And as the Rishonim point out, actually Rav Chia could have given him his own smicha, because we learned Rav Chia had smicha, but he wanted to get smicha from the Gol Hador, from Rebbe. Or some say, in the place where Rebbe is, a Talmud, as we'll discuss in Amud Beis, is not allowed to give his own smicha. So Rabbi Chana was traveling to Bavel. Amle Rav Chia le Rebbe. So Rav Chia said to Rebbe, Ben Achai Yoyer le Bavel. My brother's son is traveling to Bavel. Yoyer. Can he pass in Shilas of Issa v'Heter? So he said, Yoyer, he may. Yodin, could he get involved in Dinei Torah of Mammon? Yodin, he may. Yata Bechoris, we know a Bechor, especially in the time when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, so it still has the Kedushas Bechorah, but we can't bring it to the Mizbeach. So we have to wait till it becomes a Bamum, and then it becomes the private property of the Kayin. Is he qualified to identify that this is a permanent blemish, that the Bechor could become the private property of the Kayin, that he doesn't have to bring it as a carbon? Yata, he may. Continues the Gemara. Kavanachas Rav Lebavel. When Rav went to Bavel, Amle Rav Chia LeRav. Rav Chia said to Rebbe, again, Ben Achoisi, my sister's son, Yoyer Lebavel, is going to Bavel. Yoyer, same question. Can he pass in questions of Issa V'Heter? He said, Yoyer, he may. Yodin, may he pass in Dinei Torah of Mammon, monetary issues? Yodin, he may. Yata B'Chayris, can he be Mata B'Chayris? So we saw Al Yater. He may not. And the Gemara will explain why not on Amud Beis. Ask the Gemara, however, Maishna Lamar, why did Rav Chia call Rabbi Bachana the Kari Ben Achi, my brother's son? Or Maishna Lamar, and why did he call Rav Ben Achaisi, my sister's son? V'chitayma, you'll say the obvious answer, because Hachav and Maishna, those were the facts. He was a brother's son and he was a sister's son. Says the Gemara, that's not true. For Amamar, we have to keep Cheshbon here. I have a vachon of a shilu or marse of Rav Chia, kul b'nei abba ba'acha karsalim kafri hava. There were, abba ba'kasla had five sons. I have a chana shilu, marse, and Rav Chia. Rav ba'achva d'abba ba'achse, Rav ba'chana ba'achva d'la ba'achse. So to understand this, There was a person whose name was Abba Bar Acha. Abba Bar Acha was married, had a son Ivor, and his wife died. Ivor was Rav's father. Now he got remarried to a woman who already had a daughter whose name was Ima, and together they had a son whose name was Chana. So now let's think about it. And now, Rav's father Ivor got married to Ima. They were stepchildren together, and they got married to each other. They weren't related. So Rav Chiya was both a brother of Rav's father Ivor. They shared a father. He was also a brother of Chana because they shared a mother. Whereas that was Rav Chiya. Whereas Chana was, that was Ivor's relationship to Rav Chiya. Whereas Chana's relationship to Rav Chiya was they only shared a father, they didn't share a mother. That's why Rav was called a sister's son. Rav Chiya was, whereas Rav Bar Chana was only called a brother's son. V'bai Seima, why did he call Rav Ben Achaisai? Hashem Chachmasai. Because Rav was the greater Talmud Chacham. And the Ksiv, and the Pasuk says, Mishlei Emel Chacham Achaisiyat. Torah is compared to a sister. So I saw the Mefarshim explain as follows. We find that the Torah is compared, as we see this pasuk in Mishlei, to a sister. We also find that the Torah is compared to a wife. Many Mefarshim say that the perek of Eishes Chayel Miyimtza is really speaking about the Torah. So what is it, a wife or a sister? So Mefarshim explained it's actually both. In one hand, the love that exists between a husband and a wife is certainly a greater love that exists between a brother and a sister. So the Torah is compared to the love of a wife. On the other hand, to divorce a wife. You can never divorce a sister. So the Pasuk is saying that our relationship to Torah should have both qualities. On one hand, it should be as deep as the love of a husband to a wife, but it should also be as enduring as the love of a brother to a sister. There's a fantastic story. The Ramei Simchat Ar Sameich, the Rav of Dvinsk, said to Rav Zalman Sirotskin. There's a famous episode in history where the Russian government wanted to institute that in all yeshivas they had to start learning secular studies. And that was when the Volozhiny yeshiva actually closed. And as Sifas Rabbanim, a gathering of the greatest Rabbanim of the generation, was called for in the city of St. Petersburg. But they specifically did not call the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim was already a very old man, and they didn't want to bother him to have to travel from Radin to St. Petersburg. The Sefer begins, and the Chavetz Chaim comes. And Rameyah Simcha knew that the Chavetz Chaim was specifically not invited. So he asked the Chavetz Chaim, why are you here? So he said, I have a sister here who's not well. So Rameyah Simcha started asking him, who's your sister? Where does she live? What's the matter with her? He said, my sister's the Torah. Emel Chachma Chaisiyat. The Torah is in trouble. The Torah of the Pasuk we just learned is called Achaisi. If my sister is in trouble, I have to come to take it, help her. So we learned regarding Rav. The question was, Yata Bechairis, can he be an individual that could save a Bechairis Balmum? Al Yata, he may not. My Tam, ask the Gemara. Ilema, Mishim Dloy Chacham, that he's not a great enough Talmud Chacham. Hakamri and the Chacham Tuva. We just said that he was the greater Talmud Chacham. So that can't be the reason. Ella will suggest, Mishum Dloib Kiba Mumi. Certain halachas, the Rishayim explained, the Yad Ramah says it. The only way you learn those halachas, you can't learn them in the Beis Medrash. You have to have hands-on experience. And he never spent time with animals, asked the Gemara. From Rav Shmoyna Esach Hadoshim, Gidalti Eitzel Roy Behema, I spent 18 months with the shepherds, later to learn Ezemum Kavuv, Ezemum Iver, if it is or it isn't a mum. Asked the Aruch Laner, maybe that happened after this story. Says the Aruch Laner, let's look at the word of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Gidalti. I did it when I was a young man. At this point, Rav was an older person. So it must be that he already had this experience. So why was Rav excluded from passing the Shilas? Rav was greater than Rav Bar Chana, but they wanted to give his cousin Rav Bar Chana some covet, so he left that he'll be the Bechairis expert. This is the actual reason why Rav wasn't given the opportunity. The Rav, Bekir Ben Mumi Tvei, Rav was a great expert in this subject. And what he's going to end up doing is allow mumim that people, that he knows is a mum, but people won't recognize are a mum. V'amrika gavne sharu rav, and people will start making comparisons that if this is a mum, other things certainly are mumim, are blemishes. V'asrim mushri mum over. And he's going to come to make that mistake. So from here we see, and this is the halacha, that one is not allowed to say a psak that's a milsa ha-tamur l'rabim. That's a psak that people don't understand. The Truma Sedeshin says an interesting shayla was brought to him. There was one esrog only available for many communities. And they couldn't take the esrog from one community to the next community on the first day of Yontif. So what should be done? So the Truma Sedeshin said they should cut up the esrog. What would be the problem with the cut up esrog? It's an esrog achasr. So even though the halach is that esrog achasr is possible, there is one shita of the Ravya that says that esrog chaser is kosher, so everybody should have a small piece of esrog, every city. So they told me he shouldn't pass him that way, because even though he has a basis, but it's a al-gemara taught us, that a milsa tmul rabim, you should never pass him a shayla, people can't understand the psak. And therefore, don't issue that kind of a psak. I did see in the shayla's Jewish Mishnah Halachas, that he wants to differentiate when such a psak is given to a rabim, like the issue of, like the situation by the Truma Sedeshin that was for many communities that people won't understand and could come to make serious mistakes, versus a psak that's given to an individual. A psak that's given to an individual is different. There, people won't necessarily learn from that psak and make a mistake. Similarly, the Stechemed discusses at great length. There's an interesting tshuva from the Noi de Yehuda. The Noi de Yehuda paskind. We know that halacha is that in Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to take a haircut, you're not allowed to shave. That if there's a barber, a Jewish barber, who doesn't have money, and he needs to give haircuts and shaves in Chol HaMoed so that he should be able to have tzorch yontif, that he should have money, that he should be able to make yontif, another Jew may go use his services in Chol HaMoed. And again, the Stechemed says that even though it's the night of Yehuda that offered that psak, it's not a psak that should be followed. Why? It's a milsa tamul rabim. The Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to. People don't understand that this barber is poor and this barber is not poor, and therefore it should not be followed. However, the Shach says that if it's a psak that's quoted in the Sefer, then it's not considered a milsa tamul rabim. But I sort of paiskim qualify what the Shach say. Number one, they say just because it's printed in the Sefer, and my Rebbe, Reb Tovia Goldstein, also used to say this, just because something's printed in the Sefer doesn't make it right. So if you have a psak that the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, say one psak, and then you find some obscure Sefer that says differently, it doesn't mean, oh, now it's in the Sefer, and that becomes authoritative. Furthermore, even if it's quoted in the Sefer, and it doesn't contradict what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but if it's something that says in the Sefer that's impossible to understand, just because it's printed in the Sefer doesn't exclude it from the category of Milsa Tumul Rabim that you could automatically follow it. Says the Gemara. Yaira. So he asked him for Yaira. If may he pass in Shilas Avisav Heter? He said yes. Asked the Gemara, Igomer, if he's such a Talmud Chacham, in issues of Yaradeya, Rishus Salama Lila Meshkel, what does he need to get special Rishus to Paskin Din Tyrus? So Shanim asked the obvious question. Just because you're an expert in Issev HaHetter, does that make you an expert in Choshim Mishpat? So I saw two Terutzim. One Terutz is that in those days, everybody learned everything. There wasn't that people were experts only in certain areas of Halacha. So if he knew Yaradei, it must be that he knew Choshim Mishpat also. Another Pshat that I saw, it wasn't just that he knew Yaradei. He knew Yeridei to the degree that he was able to paskin shaylus. Somebody who's in such a degree of learning that not only is he a Talmud Chacham, but he could paskin shaylus, obviously must be on a standard regarding Choshim Mishpat also. Says Gemara, the reason he had to get special smicha for Choshim Mishpat is Shemais HaShayim. And in fact, the Gra and all the Mefarshim say, as I said when we began the Masechta, the smicha that we know of nowadays is not the smicha that we're talking about in this Gemara. The smicha that we learn in Masechta Sanhedrin is a smicha of unbroken chain back to Moshe Rabbeinu generation after generation. Our smicha is really like a degree that we mastered certain subjects and we got tested and we know it. So where does that come from? The Rama already speaks about our type of smicha. Says the Gra from our Gemara. From our Gemara we see that even though the real smicha that the Gemara refers to no longer exists, the concept that somebody before he passes a shayla should be tested on the subject comes from our Gemara. Why? Why? Once Rabbi came to a certain location, it's the same betumah, that they were making dough betumah. They weren't careful that it should remain tahar. And the halacha is that the challah that's removed from the dough should not be tameh. Furthermore, the Gemara many times speaks about people who were makbid, who were careful to always eat betahara. So why are these people not careful about this? Why are you using tamei water to knead your dough? So they responded to him. There was once a Talmud that came here. And he paskin mei betsoim emachshirim. Mei betsoim means dirty water, muddy water. Don't make food mukshel kabel toma. We know that we've spoken many times that food cannot become susceptible to toma until it's exposed to liquid. And they understood that he meant that mei betsoim, that means dirty water, doesn't have that characteristic. And they said, therefore, we're making our dough with dirty water, and there's no problem of tumah v'tahara. For who? But that isn't what happened. What the Talmud really said was mei betsim, egg water. And as Mefarshim explained, because eggs are not considered a liquid. Eggs are considered a food. And only liquids can be machshir, can make food susceptible for tumah, not food. He told them eggs, and they got confused between eggs and dirty water. Vinusava, they thought that he didn't say eggs, but he said dirty water. And that's how they made this mistake. The interesting Tferes Yisrael. As you know, the minig by most b'nei yeshiva is they don't say beitza, they say deo. Why? He said, because it is Gemara. Our Gemara is teaching us that they got confused between the word betsoim and beitza. So how do you avoid making that mistake? By not pronouncing it beitza, by pronouncing it deo. So the minig that we call beitza, even though that's the way it should be pronounced, beiz yud tzadikei, we'd rather pronounce it deo, is to avoid being confused with betsoim. And from here, interestingly, the Paiskim say, of course it has to be understood, that when somebody comes to be tested for smicha, besides that he has to be tested for his knowledge, if he knows the subject matter, we also have to see if he's qualified to be a Rav. If he doesn't have the ability to articulate his words properly, and mistakes like our Gemara has discussed has happened, then perhaps he shouldn't be allowed to be a Rav, where people could get confused because of his decisions. Says the Gemara, V'tayon nam b'ha, they made another error. And as the Rishonim explained, Taisrus is bothered, how could somebody make a mistake between Beitza and Betzoim? Totally two different words. So the Gemara gives us another example where the mistake is not that evident and you still have to be very careful. They made a mistake, make kermia or made pega, the waters that come from these places, psulim, are not kosher to be used for the water that the ashes of the paraduma should be mixed with. Neshimei betzon. Binusover, they were under the impression, middle gabachatis psili, if they're not considered water, that they should be qualified to be used for mixing the ashes of the paraduma, ichshuri namile machsha. They don't have the ability to be machsha food for tumah. Vloihi. But that was a mistake. Hasam linyan chatas, regarding the chatas, there's a special din. The Torah doesn't just say you need water. The Torah says, b'inim mayim chayim. You need mayim chayim. And these waters weren't from flowing water. And that's why they did not kosher. However, as achshuri, when it comes that it should be considered enough of a liquid that it should make a food susceptible to a tumba, called the humachshuri. Any food, any liquid, even if it's not Mayim Chayim, will be Machshir. And again, because this Talmud caused them to make a mistake, From there they learned, you have to, a Talmud has no right to paskin unless he has the smicha. Tana. Baisek shah gazru. At that point they made the gzeira. Talmud al yaira. A Talmud has no right to paskin shayla. Elm kain, noitel mishus merabai. Unless he has permission from his rebbe. Says the Gemara. Tanchim bereder of Ami. Ikl l'chatar. He came to this place. Darsh l'hu. And he said to them, Mutter l'usoy schitim b'pesach. You're allowed to soak the wheat on Pesach, even though if you soak the wheat, you chance that it will become chametz by being exposed to the water. And indeed, we would never do this. The halacha is we don't do this anymore because we really don't know how to do this. Amalo lav Ramani the Mitzur ikahacha. Doesn't Ramani the Mitzur live here? V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Talmud ha-yer halacha v'makam rabbi. A Talmud has no right to paskin shayla where his Rebbe lives. Elm ken ha yirach men sholosh parsos, unless he's distant from the Rebbe, connected machnisro, three parsos away. Otherwise, you have no authorization. Amlu lava de tay. I didn't realize. So, where did Rishadim explain that halach is as follows? Even though we're learning that you pass kneshayla only if you get ordination, getting ordination, says Taisus in explaining the Gemara, is not enough. Because if you pass kneshayla within three parsos of where your Rebbe is, just like, then you're not allowed to. Even with smicha. Without smicha, you're not allowed to paskin anywhere. With smicha, you're allowed to paskin. With smicha, you're allowed to paskin, but outside of three parsos. Just like Klaisa weren't allowed to paskin shaylas in all of Machne Yisro, which was three parsos big, because Moshe Rabbeinu was there. However, the Rishayim say, This that the Gemara is teaching us, the halacha, that even if you have smicha, even if you have ordination, you're not allowed to pass in a shayla if your Rebbe is there, it's only a Rebbe muvak. If you just learned by somebody, you heard a shir, doesn't mean that you can't pass in a shayla anymore. Furthermore, many Rishonim say that nowadays there's no concept of a Rebbe muvak. Why is there no concept of a Rebbe muvak? Because we have Sfarim. And everything we learn is in a sefer. And I saw two pshatim, what does it mean that we have svarim? One pshat is that there really is no Rebbe Muvik. The real Rebbe Muvik is the Sefer that you learn from. The Rebbe is no more than the one that says what it says in the Sefer. But the real Rebbe is the Sefer. Another pshat is just the opposite. Of course you have a Rebbe. But since what the Rebbe is saying comes from the Sefer, and you have the ability to quote, just like your Rebbe quoted, what it says in the Sefer, so therefore, you're not really doing anything against your Rebbe when you're paskening in a place where your Rebbe exists, is there, because you're just quoting what the Sefer says. It's not your own psak. Therefore, according, there would be a nafkamina. If it was your own psak, not something that you saw in a Sefer. So if we say there's no concept of a Rebbe Muvik, you could even say your own psak. But if, on the other hand, we're saying that the reason you could say your psak is because you took it from a Sefer. But if you didn't take your psak from a Sefer, it was a new shayla that you didn't find in the Sefer, then the halacha would be you wouldn't be allowed to paskin it in the place where your Rebbe is. Says the Gemara. Rav Chiya Chazi Lahu Gavra. Rav Chiya saw a certain individual that had a kovah beis hakvaros that was standing in a cemetery. Amalei laben ish ploni koinata. Isn't your father a kohen, and therefore you're a kohen? How are you standing in a cemetery? Amalei in. So he responded, yes. Avu daha gavra gvai naihava. My father was sort of arrogant. Nos ena begrusha, and he wanted to marry a divorcee, v'chilala. And therefore, I'm not considered a kohen, I'm considered a chalal. What's the purpose of quoting this story? So Rishonim explained very beautifully. Even though our Gemara just taught us that a Talmud is not a paskin, a shayla, in the place of his Rebbe, that is, if somebody comes to a Talmud and asks him the shayla, he shouldn't paskin the shayla, he should send him to his Rebbe. But if the person who's a Talmud, and he sees somebody doing an Aveira, even though it's in the place where his Rebbe is the Rav, he shouldn't sit by and say, you know, it's not my problem. My Rebbe is the Rav here. I don't have to say anything. If you see somebody doing something wrong, lahalocha, you have the obligation to say so. And the Rishonim say, not only if you see somebody like an Algamar transgressing perhaps an Issa D'Raisa, the halocha is, even if you see him transgressing an Issa D'Rabon. Pshita. It's obvious, continues the Gemara, that somebody received ordination lapalga. Not for all subjects. For certain subjects, we said clearly before in the Gemara, hakamad mahani, that's a valid ordination. However, ask the Gemara of Tanai Mai. If somebody was giving ordination, but he was giving with a condition, what is the halacha? Toshma, Damle Rav Yochanan Rav Shimon, Harei Ata Brishusenu, Ach Tovetzlenu. You have smicha until you come back here. So we see that he was given a temporary smicha on El Tanai. Go back a little to Masechta Sanhedrin. Gufa. Amishmu, we learned earlier, Shmuel's opinion is, they shadonu dinayim din. That if two people paskin din taira, it's acceptable. Al shenikr bezdin chotzef. It's considered bezdin chotzef. The truth is, Taisa says, the same din according to Shmuel applies by one dayin. But one dayin, you don't have the concept of bezdin chotzef. So Shmuel said, even by two dayonim. There are Rishonim that disagree with Taisus, and they say that Shmuel will only allow two Dayanim, one Dayan would agree is not acceptable. Yosef Rav Nachman Kamal HaShematzah. So Rav Nachman was sitting and repeated what he heard from Shmuel. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, so he asked, we're going to learn later in HaMasechta that the Mishnah says, Afilu Shnai Mezakin. If you have a Bezdin made up of three individuals, two vote for acquittal, or Shnai Mechayim, two vote for conviction, and the third dayan says, I don't know what to say. Since now we don't have a quorum of three, because one dayan doesn't know what to do, we should bring new dayanim. Ask the Gemara, Vim Isa, if this is the situation, that a psak given by two dayanim, according to Shmuel, is valid, why isn't it acceptable that we should just take the psak of these two dayanim? Ask the Rishonim the obvious question. Shmuel that says, Shneim Shadonu, that if two people paskin, the name din, it's a valid psak, he's not saying it's l'chatchila. He's saying, b'dievid, if you had a din daira with two dayanim, it's fine. What's the biggest riot of that Shmuel's opinion? Because Shmuel says such a bezdin is considered a bezdin chotzef. If Shmuel held that it was kosher l'chatchila, he wouldn't call them a bezdin chotzef. So how do we understand the Gemara's question? Answer the Rishonim, that just like Shmuel holds, that b'dievid, two dayanim are kosher. This, when you have a situation that three dayanim sit down for the entire, and one dayan just doesn't know how to make up his mind, ein l'cha b'dievid gadol mezu. This is certainly a situation of a b'dievid, and therefore Shmuel's din, that shnayim shadonu, the name din, ought to apply. Says the Gemara, shani hasam, we can't bring right from that Mishnah. The Mikara adopted the tefasa Yosri. When the two litigants came to this Torah, they assumed they're getting a psak for three people. And if it ends up they're getting a psak from two people, it's not what they agreed to. However, in the case where originally, l'chatchila, they accepted upon themselves they're going to take the psak of two dayanim, lavadata tlosi yosvi. They didn't assume they're going to have three dayanim, they're going to assume that they have two dayanim, and according to Shmuel, that's fine. Eisvei asked the Gemara from a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Rishon Gemalei Loimer, Hadin, a dentai requires three dayanim. Upshara, but a pshara can be done with shnai, with two dayanim, and if they make such a pshara, the litigants cannot complain. Furthermore, says the Gemara, the yafakar pshara mekoich hadin, and we're going to spend a lot of time in tomorrow's year speaking about compromise versus din. Shishnaim shadonu bali dinim yichayim lachseben. If a dentai was issued by two dayanim, the litigants could say, we're not accepting this psak. However, if shnayim shasa pshara, if two dayanim made a pshara, ein b'din yichayim lachsabahen. V'chi teva pliga l'rabbanan alayd Rav Shimon Gamliel. It will say, this represents Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. But the rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Shmuel is following the opinion of the rabbanan. As the Gemara, v'am Rav Avua said shnayim shadanu, l'divrei hakol, even the rabbanan will agree, ein dinayim din. So how could Shmuel say it? Answers the Gemara, Gavra, Gavra Karamas. Rav Avuah indeed holds that a din Torah by two dayanim is invalid, is null, and void. Shmuel doesn't hold that way. So ask the Sefer Margolius Hayom, what was the Havamin of the Gemara? So Rav Avuah holds that way. Shmuel is a Amira. That's a lot of argue with Rav Avuah. So Sefer Margolius Hayom explains that the Gemara and the Havamin assumed that since Rav Avuah was a Gavra Rabba, was a very great person, Shmuel certainly wouldn't disagree. Says the Gemara, why? If they're both Amiroim, even though one is greater than the other, they may disagree.